Well, it's a delight to be here with you once again. I'm delighted to have a small portion in your celebration. We are to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we certainly rejoice with you on the gift that God has given you for the last 35 years in Pastor Cook. And we also rejoice with you in how God has been pleased to give you such a plurality of elders, men who work along beside him, a kind gift that God has given to you. And I would ask that as you think of us, you pray that God would give us the same thing in days to come. That would be appreciated. Well, take your Bibles again and turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. As Pastor was reading this passage in your hearing, perhaps some of you gave thought to what are we going to do with this passage? A list of names of various men who were beneficial in the Apostle Paul's life and his ministry. He introduces us in this passage to those men who are his fellow laborers in the gospel. They were men who stood with him through thick and thin. Through the good times, through the hard times, through the great moments of preaching and the agonizing months in prison. You see, we need to understand that when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, he is in prison. He's in a prison in Rome, and to be a friend of his at this time would be to be in a very dangerous position. You might be accused of being found guilty by association and simply be put into prison because you had befriended this man, Paul. And so here is Paul as he's closing this letter and he sets before us this group photo of those men who he appreciated because of their labor with him in the gospel. One man has written this: what you have here at the close of Colossians is a group photograph, frankly. Paul signs his letter and it includes a group photograph. It has a group together in one portrait at the end of this epistle. And all the people who helped him in his ministry while he was a prisoner at Rome. It expresses a deep down satisfaction in the life of the Apostle Paul that he was able to accomplish his ministry only because of the faithfulness of many dear friends who have stuck by him and who have been helpful to him in his ministry. And in order to use them as an encouragement to the Colossians and to all the churches that would read this letter. They are men who perhaps did not have the same prominence that the Apostle Paul had, but each one of them, fulfilling their God-given task, were useful for the advancement of the gospel. And because they were faithful to their task, they are of benefit for us today. It is believed that Tychicus was a man who would be delivering the letters to the various churches. And it was because of the work of that man that the letter arrived in Colossae, and they read it and benefited by it. And thereby, today, we can read it as the people of God and also benefit by that letter. And it's that very man that I want you to consider with me this evening. I want us to consider together the man who was a courier of this letter. And his name is Tychicus. What an unusual name. I don't know of anyone else who has named their son Tychicus. Maybe you do. But here is this man. We read about him in the New Testament some five times. In Acts chapter 20, we read about him and that he came from the province of Asia. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read that he was a man who was recognized and had a good reputation and therefore was sent out to benefit others. In Titus chapter 3, again, we read that he is one of the two men who were going to replace Titus so that Titus could come to the Apostle Paul. And then we read about him in Ephesians chapter 6. And what Paul says about him in Ephesians chapter 6 is basically the same thing that he says here in Colossians chapter 4. So he is a man who's mentioned several times in the Word of God. But what I want to direct your attention to this evening is what Paul says about this man's character here in Colossians chapter 4. Notice what we read from the Word of God. We read that Tychicus was our beloved brother, verse 7. He's our faithful servant, and he is our fellow bondslave in the Lord. Three things that Paul points out about this man. Three things that are commendable about this man's character. And I say this because these are three things that each one of us should have in our lives as well. So I want you to notice them with me this evening. The first thing we notice that Paul calls him is my beloved brother. And here I believe Paul's writing about his relationship with this man. When it comes to the relationship that I have with Tychicus, I want you to know this about him. He is a beloved brother. First of all, he says he's my brother. He does not say he's my fellow believer. He does not say he's my co-worker. But he says he is my brother. This term is used by Paul to speak of a real relationship that existed between the two men. And they are united because they have both become a part of the same family. They have both been adopted into the family of God. They have both been brought in to that family by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ saves a man, he not only saves him, but he also adopts him and brings him in to be a part of the family, so that as we consider our relationship with other brothers and sisters, perhaps sometimes we neglect to consider, these are my brothers and my sisters. We've been adopted into the same family. And much like Mephibosheth, who King David brought into his home and brought him to be a part of his family, and we read this, that Mephibosheth sat at the king's table, so we as the people of God are united together as a family because we've been adopted into his home. There's been a change with regard to our legal status. We've gone from slaves to being the sons of God. What a change. To be adopted into that family. Now I have 6 grandchildren. And I'll stop there. I could tell you about all 6 of them, but I won't. But there's one that has no Walden blood in him. He was adopted. And he became a part of our family. And he's as much a part of our family as the other 5. If he would walk through those doors and see his grandfather, now, maybe he wouldn't do it right now, but when the service is over, he would run up, grab me, and say, "Hi, Grandpa," without hesitation. I remember being in the courtroom when the judge pronounced that he is now a Walden, Daniel Walden. And he became a part of our family. To become a part of my family is one thing. To be adopted into God's family is so much better. And every true child of God is a part of the family of God. And that makes us brothers and sisters. That gives us that relationship. So that even on some occasions when we pray, I mean, we prayed last Wednesday night for the Trinity Baptist Church in Hong Kong. I've never met the people that make up that church. I have met Pastor Chong, but I've never met those people. But as we prayed for them, it wasn't like we were praying for strangers. We're praying for brothers and sisters who are a part of our family. And though we may never meet them until we arrive in the new heaven and new earth, and then I don't know how that reception and reunion will be like, but even now, there are brothers and sisters whom God has placed a love in our hearts for as they seek to advance His kingdom, as we seek to advance His kingdom in Adrian, Michigan. And Paul, when he thought of Tychicus, thought of him and the relationship they had as one that he cherished because this is my brother. But not only, Paul says, is he my brother, but notice he says, he is my beloved brother. My beloved brother. This term is used 4 times by the Apostle Paul. Twice with Tychicus and twice with Onesimus. He refers to them with this word that I believe expresses something of what I treasure. This is my beloved brother. A brother that I highly esteem. I believe it signifies a special bond that existed between these men. I believe there was a genuine love that they had for each other. And how vital that is, as we mentioned even yesterday, friendship is something you ought to treasure. And sometimes God gives you special friends that you bond with. And as Moses says, you're like one soul together. He is one that I highly esteem. That they shared experiences in this spiritual warfare. That they sought to labor together for the advancement of God's kingdom. Some would say that Tychicus may have been the man that Paul dictated his letters to. I don't know if that's true. But I sometimes, forgive me, like to use my imagination. And I imagine because of the high esteem these two men had for one another, I envision Paul there in prison and he's dictating a letter. And as they're talking to one another, you know, Paul may have said something like this to Tychicus. Tychicus, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Tychicus, I am the chief of them. I am the chief of sinners. And I imagine Tychicus saying, well, you know, I'm right up there with you. I'm with you, Paul. I'm there. And then for Paul to say, yes, but you know what? He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Tychicus saying, that's so true. I mean, I don't know if they're Reformed Baptists at this point, but I could see Tychicus even wanting to stand up and say, brother, that's right. He has rescued us. And I can see the two of them saying, oh, let's just take a moment and give thanks and praise to Almighty God. This is my beloved brother. These two men were good for each other's souls. They were beneficial for one another and their walk with God. They would be men who would instill within the other a deeper hunger for Christ, a deeper hunger for His Word, and a deeper pursuit of godliness. My beloved brother, my friends, when it comes to our friendships and our relationships to our brothers and sisters, might it be said of us that as we commune with one another, as we fellowship with one another, you're an instrument that helps the others around you to have a deeper hunger for Christ, a deeper hunger for His Word, a deeper pursuit for godliness. Do we have that relationship with one another? And so Tychicus is first of all called my beloved brother. Then we notice secondly, going back to chapter 4 and verse 7, he is a faithful servant. A faithful servant. If beloved brother speaks about the relationship that Tychicus and Paul had toward one another, when it comes to this characteristic, he's a faithful servant. I believe that Paul's writing about Tychicus's relationship to the ministry, to the labor of the gospel. And when it comes to that labor, he has been a faithful servant. Well, let's open that up a little bit. First of all, he is a servant. The term that is used is dikamos. It's where, again, we get the word deacon. This is someone who serves as an agent to someone who's superior. This is one under authority. This is someone who does not act according to his own will or his own interest, but he is one who acts in accord with the will and the interest of the one who is over him. He's working for the one who is his authority. He's a servant to his master. A servant is one who is not aiming to advance his own name. He's not laboring to advance his own reputation. He is not laboring to climb the ladder. He's not laboring to advance his reputation among others. He's simply pursuing to do the will of his authority to the best of his ability. I have a master, and I will submit to him, and I will seek to do his will. He's given a task to perform, and he is working to fulfill that assignment. He's a servant. In Romans chapter 16, in verse 1, we read about the woman Phoebe. And it says of her, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church. She was a woman who was recognized for exercising her gifts in such a marked way that it was beneficial for the church. She was profitable to the church of Jesus Christ. She performed a definite function for the church. And her task in fulfilling that function was of great benefit. You might recall that Peter's mother-in-law, after she was healed by Jesus, we read this, she immediately got up and waited on them. She immediately got up and waited on them. She was a servant. A servant. And may I say, the smallest task that is done to the glory of God is a task well done. The most, what we might consider insignificant task that is done to the glory of God, it may never reach the headlines of Christian periodicals. You may never be on CNN or Fox. No one will give you a trophy or recognize you. But if you seek to do it to the glory of God, to please Him, God is well pleased. No believer can fully comprehend the significance of a small task performed faithfully by the servants of God. You may think to yourself, but it's such a small thing that I do. I just work in the nursery every so often to help somebody else so they can sit and listen to the Word of God. How important is that? Well, God is pleased with that servant, self-denying heart. J.C. Ryle says, the world's idea of greatness is to rule. But Christians' greatness consists in serving. Serving. Tychicus was a servant. But not only was he a servant, he was a faithful servant. Paul identifies Tychicus as a faithful servant. Paul could trust him with a task. This tells me that Paul stood in need of help. He could not execute all his responsibilities placed on him alone. He needed help. He needed helpers. And that's true of all men who are in leadership. They need help. There should not be an attitude, they can take care of this. Or even worse, an attitude that says, doesn't he get paid? Don't we pay him to take care of things like this? But there should be a servant's heart in each one of us when it comes to helping advance the cause of Christ. Even the apostles needed help. Remember there in Acts chapter 6? There were some things that weren't getting done. And they needed helpers. And the church didn't rise up and say, well, let's give them a few more shekels and let them maybe work a few more hours and take care of these things. No, they were told, let us look them among us. Men who are able to give themselves to take care of these tasks so that these men can give themselves to prayer and the study of the Word of God. Faithful in the task of service. Paul needed Tychicus. And though Tychicus was no apostle Paul, he was a significant and faithful servant to the Apostle Paul. He was dependable and trustworthy. Faithful means worthy of trust. Paul was saying he could give this man a task with the assurance that it would be done in a timely fashion and it would be done well. I mean, as I said before, Tychicus, some refer to him as the mailman because he was involved in seeing that the letters were taken to Colossae, taken to Ephesus, and taken to Philemon. And we got to put things in the context. To be a deliverer of a letter in those days was no easy task. I mean, you and I can pick this thing up and I can type a letter or send you a text and bam, it's done. But to deliver the letter in ancient times was not an easy task. And Tychicus was faithful to that task. He was a proven man. And Paul witnessed this man's behavior and gave him this commendation. He is a faithful servant. The Word of God tells us that he who's faithful in little things is also faithful in much. And he who is unjust in little things or unrighteous in little things is unrighteous in much. J.C. Ryle says, our Lord here teaches us the great importance of strict faithfulness about little things. He would have us know that little things are the best test of character, and that unfaithfulness about little things is a symptom of a bad state of your heart. Did you ever have a task to perform and think to yourself, but it seems so insignificant? It seems so minute. Who's going to notice? Who's going to recognize me? And forget that Almighty God one day will say to some, well done. What? Good and faithful servant. Even over the little things. And you may never have the gift or the opportunity to stand in the pulpit and proclaim God's word, which is a great privilege. You may never have the opportunity to be a church officer, an elder, or a deacon. But there are tasks that you need to perform that would be so beneficial for the advancement of God's kingdom. And in doing that well, when the day is done, to hear Almighty God say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't think any of us would say, "Yeah, but it wasn't as important as being Pastor Cook and getting to stand in the pulpit." To hear my God say, "Well done," about anything I've accomplished, even the smallest, most insignificant things in the eyes of the world, is worth more than this world could ever give us. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then finally, notice with me the last characteristic of this man. He is called a fellow bond slave or bond servant. When Paul says concerning this man, he is a beloved brother, Paul speaks about the relationship that the two of them had. When Paul calls him a faithful servant, he's speaking about the relationship that Tychicus had with the ministry, with his labors. And now, when he calls him my fellow bond servant, Paul's writing about the relationship that Tychicus has with Christ himself. With Christ himself. He is a bond servant or a bond slave to Christ. In the sovereign assignment of God, we might say that Paul had a higher position in the church than Tychicus had. Paul was an apostle. However, at the heart of what made these men tick, at the heart of what was the driving force behind both these men, Paul says, we're on equal footing. We are both bond servants of Christ. We are both driven with a passion and a devotion to Jesus Christ. We are both voluntarily and determinately slaves of Jesus Christ. What drove them, what they were passionate about, was Christ and Christ alone, and being His servant. They are both driven by a passion to have Jesus known, loved, served, and esteemed, and His cause advanced. We are bond slaves of Christ. Can that be said of us? I am driven. I am passionate about my Master. I want others to know Him. I want others to love Him and esteem Him. I want to see His cause and His kingdom advanced. I am a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, that's what we are together. We are both driven by the same thing. So here's this man, Tychicus. I wonder how many sermons you've ever heard in your lifetime on the man Tychicus. Well, I trust you won't forget him now, because he's a beloved brother.
He's a faithful servant.
And he is a fellow bond slave. And as I thought about those three characteristics, I came to this, that Tychicus was a man who loved fervently. He labored faithfully. And he was devoted passionately. I mean, that's what Paul's concluding here. And I'm wondering, if someone were to write a letter to a church that we're familiar with, and as they were bringing that letter to a close, they said, and oh, by the way, you know Frank? Now, I don't know if there's a Frank here or not. I just pulled that out of my hat. So if there is a Frank here, don't put him in this position. But what would they say about you? What would they say about you? Oh, there's Frank. He attends church. There's Frank. Yeah, he's here pretty much on a regular basis. Yeah, there's Frank. He thinks this place is just a sermon place. We just come in, park ourselves, get a sermon, and go home. Could it be said, you know, Frank, he's a beloved brother. He's a faithful servant. And he's a fellow bond slave with me. God takes note of that. In the book of Daniel, I think some three times, but the first time it's in Daniel chapter 9. Gabriel comes to Daniel and he speaks to Daniel. And one thing that caught my attention was, you know what Gabriel said to Daniel? Daniel, you are highly esteemed. Now, where did Gabriel come up with that? Who sent Gabriel to Daniel? God. Can you imagine God looking as imperfect as we are and say, you know what? I treasure you. I treasure you. Something tells me, as much as we might treasure someone like the Apostle Paul, God treasures someone like Tychicus. Highly esteems him. Dear people, we should strive to be like Tychicus. We should remember him, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, to remember those who instructed us. Tychicus has instructed us. Remember him and imitate him. Be like him. May God give our churches many members by the name of Tychicus, for the advancement of his kingdom. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do give you thanks that we have the opportunity to remember such a man whose name is Tychicus. And Father, we thank you that you've given him to us to instruct us. And Father, we pray that each one of us may, by your grace, be those who love fervently, beloved brothers. May we be those that labor passionately for the advancement of your kingdom. May we be found as faithful servants. And Father, we pray that we might be a people who are devoted, who are passionate about you. Perhaps there's someone here this evening who finds all this very strange. Their life is simply caught up with themselves, doing their own thing and living their own lives. And really know nothing about what it is to live to the glory of God. Father, we pray that you would open their eyes to how unsatisfying such a life really is. They would see that there's one who is worth living for. That there is one who is worth being devoted to. And even this night, may they seek you until they find you. But for the rest of us, Father, we pray that you would help us to imitate this man and be used to the glory of our God, even in the smallest of tasks. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.